Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favored Woman. My name is Sachina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure for me to be here tonight. I am in my sports gear today. Go Gamecocks. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. So you know I don't start the show off without prayer, so let's just go right into it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the highest praise of hallelujah. I thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you for your being Jehovah Jireh in our lives, the one who will provide of all of our needs. I thank you for being Jehovah Rophe, the Lord God that heals you beyond all understanding. We've had so many people, including myself, in the ER this weekend, and yes, Lord, we are out here to give you the honor and the praise because we didn't have to stay. I thank you for who you've been. I thank you for where you're about to take us. And I thank you for all those who are tuning in, whether it's live or during the replay. I just thank you for who you are. I cannot say it enough. You have just showed up and showed out all weekend this weekend. And I thank you for those who are in need and unable to ask for it. I thank you in action to cover them. I ask you to bless my guest tonight, for she is bringing forth a powerful, she has a powerful ministry, Lord. I thank you for watching over her family, and I thank you for those who are tuning in. Like I said before, I can't praise you enough. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And as we move forward with the show tonight, I thank you for allowing me to be the vessel. I thank you for allowing our guests to be the vessel for what you are designing people to hear tonight. I ask that you put down Sachina. I humbly put myself at your throne and your feet. And I ask you to, and I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, to show up and to show out. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. So I thank you. I thank you for all those who are tuning in. My name is Sachina Kirkendall, as I mentioned before, and you are tuning in to Chronicles of a Favored Woman. I have had one interesting weekend, not all about me, but I have to just let you know how good God is. I started off Friday working, and I noticed, for those who know, that I have histories of stroke. I also have history of quite a few things with an autoimmune disorder. But you know what? I look nothing like what I've been through. Congestive heart failure, 2 heart attacks, chemo, infusion, and still going through platelet shots at the cancer center. But still I rise, regardless of what goes on. I thank you because for those who are not aware, I also have I partner with someone for a women's book club. And I got out of the hospital like 4 o'clock Saturday morning, and I would say that I overslept, but, you know, God had me resting. And I think I got up like 10 o'clock that morning, and I knew that the book club was up at 11 o'clock. And, yeah, I could have easily said, you know, I really need to get some rest, but I just felt that urge that I'm going to move forward, and wow, did I. And the name of the book club is Women Empowerment Book Club, and it's co-chaired with me and Pastor Shalonda from the Prayer Wall Ministry. And Saturday morning was such a powerful and anointed morning. I knew nothing but good things was getting ready to come out of this. So it was awesome. Yokes were broken. So it was meant for me to be there. And I realized when the enemy always tries to throw things at you to try to get you to derail from what you want to do. So when I thought about the show tonight, I knew that would be ain't nothing different from that. I am so blessed and so honored to have with us a very young lady. Believe it or not, I just met her, but we immediately bonded. Because if you're not familiar with Clubhouse, please get familiar with it, because I met quite a few people on Clubhouse, and she is no different. She hails from South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. She will correct me when she gets on. And you all know that I'm a native of South Carolina. And it was just awesome how we got together. But I'm always led when I'm getting ready to start a show or design a show of who I need to bring on the show and for what reason. And tonight is no different, and we're going to talk about the rock of my foundation. We all know that the family is the rock and the foundation of relationship, and it must be secured. It can't be on sand. It has to be on rock. And, you know, when we mentor our kids or when we raise our children, me definitely being an example to this, we raise them according to how we're raised. Now, some that can be good and some that can be bad, but it is what it is, because even as a mother, I raise my children or my children based on how I was raised. And we learn through the experiences. I've learned that some things work for me when I was younger, but it doesn't work for my children. And as a result, I've seen some positive and I've seen some negative. But the thing about it is, it's called growth throughout the process. And when I met this young lady over, I think it was maybe a week or so ago, and I got a chance to meet with her mother as well. When I got a chance to hear the transparency between the two of them, it was like a magnet. So I knew where I was going with it or where God was unctioning me to go with it. And I was reading over her bio, and something caught me when I was trying to decide the name or the title of the show. And it came to me, your root becomes your fruit. Powerful. Your root becomes your fruit. Whatever we learn, we teach with our kids. And then, you know, but the good thing about it is it's a growing process. So I am going to present to some and introduce the others, Ms. Shayna Asby. And Ms. Shayna, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. It is a privilege and a pleasure to have you on here. How are you?
I'm doing so great. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me as your guest today, because I am so honored just to be here with you, strong woman of God.
Oh,
and I just,
glory.
Yes. Oh, my God. Like, me and one of my other girlfriends was like, she is so beautiful. And beauty is inward as well as outward. So just thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you again. I am so looking forward for what the future may hold. And I'm just going to start off with three questions. Who are you? What do? And why do you love what you do?
Yes, ma'am. Well, my name is Shayna Asby. I am a family life coach. And I chose Family Life Coach because of the things that I had been through in my past, as we all have. My foundation was basically rocky, and I learned from my past, as well as God helped me heal my past. And so in that process, I wanted to help families learn how to bond, as well as break generational curses, come together and love each other. They call me the connector. Sometimes the connector coach, because I'm always connecting people, because I love reaching out to people, and that is who I am. I love family, and it's been a healing process for me as well as other people, but the joy out of knowing that I'm helping other people create a great foundation by learning from mistakes in the healing process.
Awesome. So why do you love what you do?
So I basically love what I do is because when I was a child, I didn't have that family foundation. My mother gave me up when I was 12 years old, and she gave me up to the only father that I knew who was not my biological father. So I went through a lot of abuse.
Wow.
Yes, mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. I was left astray, you know. Not only was I going through the abuse, it was rejection. It was wondering where my mom was. And I can remember even at times, you know, being sad because I had younger siblings who had experienced the same trauma, and I couldn't do anything. I even, you know, thought about taking my own life, and it was bad. It was bad. So what happened is through the years, I realized that a lot of my trauma came from my foundation, because as I grew up, I started to wear masks, put on masks of other people, other people's identities, looking for a mom, looking for relationships. Some were good, some were bad. Of course, we know if you're a young woman, a lot of us look for men to be our father because we don't have the relationship with our father. Looking for that, looking for love. So I love what I do. I love what I do because I'm able to help women heal from that past pain so they can become greatness in today's society, not just for them, but for their children. And a lot of our mothers have become broken, or they don't know what to do in order to go forward. So one of the methods that I use is writing a book, helping them write a book. And through that process, through that process, we pray. We pray going in it. And it's a spiritual healing to become a release so they can become refreshed and renewed after they finish writing the book. So it's not just that you're writing your book, but it's a spiritual journey. So I enjoy seeing other women realize what happened, not blame themselves, and be able to move forward. And I always share my story of how me and my mom are breaking generational curses.
You know, it's so funny that you're talking about your mom because I want to kind of lead into it. Let's talk about that because I had the pleasure of meeting your mother. Your transparency, let me just say that, for your mom and from you was phenomenal because people love truth. People want to, because it's relatable. Your truth is you're relatable. Thank you, cuz. I hear you. They're relatable. And if you don't mind tapping into that, you said quite a few things, and I'm going to just, let me kind of go back a little bit. You mentioned that your mom gave you up to your only father, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How you and as a result of it, he wasn't your biological, and as a result, you endured some hardships, you know, some abuse on all types of level, all types of level. How did you, what did you go through as far as your feelings towards your mother because of that situation? What did it start with and what it led to? We heard the abuse, we heard the rejection, and yes, we'd be looking for love in all the wrong places as a result of that, as a coping mechanism for things. So how did that make you feel as a child being given up by your mother?
Yes, being given up by my mom, it made me feel lost. I was lost. I was lost and, you know, bewildered for a long time, you know, trying to figure out why she left or who was I to become because of my situation. I felt, you know, I was in a prison, you know, even within my own mental state and the situation that I was in. I felt like I needed a savior. I remember I used to sit and cry at night, even as a teen, and think about a great, great aunt who had passed on. And I would say to myself, if she was living, this would never happen. Where did it go wrong? This would never happen. And so I was just in a state of, you know, like confusion for a long time because my mom was like Martha Stewart. We played. She allowed us to be children. You know, as I stated on that call that night or on that clubhouse room, she allowed us to be children. She actually kept her depression or anything that she was going through that was not right, she kept it to herself. So she sheltered us from those things, you know. And so with her sheltering those things from us, we were just children. We were just children who laughed, who loved, and who played. And if anyone would have told us, and I talk about this in my book, if anybody would have told us that we were broken and we had a broken family, I probably would have called him a liar. And that was because of how great my mom was in those younger years. Like I stated, my father was always, he was in the military, but he wasn't always on leave. So he was hardly ever home. And every now and then, my mom would tell us to be quiet. And so I'm looking at her like, why we gotta be quiet today? And she's like, oh, your dad's home. And I'm like, my dad? Like, who is that? You know? You know? So that it did leave me in a state of shock and bewilderment, and I was lost as a child. You know, again, I felt lost. I felt really hopeless. I felt lost, and I was looking for a savior.
You know, as how, if you don't mind me asking, how old were you when that transition happened?
When my mother gave me up? I was 12 years old.
Wow, in preteen stage. In the that's the preteen stage. That's when we're, you know, leaving that elementary side, going over to that middle school, prepared for high school in life. And that had to have been a very interesting state to be in. What I do love about the fact of you and your mother is that, or just period, because it leads into this, you know, your fruit becomes your root, honey. Every time I say that, I get chills from it because that's so true. Your fruit becomes your root. But as parents, you know, well, I'll say this, as children, we don't really understand what's going on until later. You know, I did a show that says, believe me now, trust me later. And it's one of these situations right here where you didn't know. You, as far as you're concerned, everything was going great. Things were all right. And then all of a sudden this disruption happens in your life. And you're wondering what in the world, you know, as a female, we're thinking, did I do something wrong? Did, you know, what happened? And why do we have to go through this? And so we get these, I won't say false misconceptions, but we get these, you know, we don't know what's going on. But then later on, we find out, being a mother myself, I tell people, you don't know my story, so you don't understand my glory. So my, in this case, you didn't know your mom was going through. And as a result of going through, I'm sorry, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was saying yes, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm listening.
Right. So, and as a result of going through, as a mother, we do the best, we make some of the hardest decisions that you ever have to make in life as a mother. And on the outside, people don't understand, and it's not meant for them to understand anyway, but they are quick to judge. But as a mother, we do what we have to do for the safety of our children, because we just want to put them in a situation where we feel, you know, because we know we got, sometimes we got to get with ourselves. We have to get with ourselves, and then we make decisions. And sometimes we don't understand the impact that it has on our children, but we know as mothers, if we ain't right, we can't be right for ours. So could you, with that being said, and with all that you've been through and where you are now, could you elaborate on that statement or what I just said?
Yes. I just want to let people know that when my mom, when she did give us up and when we went to that next home, which is my stepmom and my father, it was like somebody taking a snow globe, turning it upside down, and the pieces fell where they may lie. It was a complete 360. It was a whole totally different environment. We went through many things. You were in a state of like, are you serious? Like what happened, you know? And that was the loss and bewilderment of it, because their way of parenting was totally different of my mom's way of parenting. For example, if me and my brothers were to get into an argument or a fight, my stepmother would pull off the couches and make us fight each other while the other siblings watched and and cheered on. That was one of the things. Being on a permanent punishment where I had to take care of everybody in the house, so I had an automatic responsibility of everybody, including my stepmother. So I would make sure that she would get up in the morning. I would wake her up. I was her alarm clock at 5 a.m. You know?
Wow.
I had, yeah, so I had younger siblings, and my father was on the road as well. So it was a totally different, it was challenging, and it was a change. But by the grace of God, as years geared on, you know, and I remember the first step in talking to my mom, you know, and that was, she came and got me. So when I was living with my dad, she would come back and get me, and she would throw me back because she still wasn't ready. Now, that was more hurtful than just being left.
Right.
Because I get to, it happened again. So now I'm back in a state of trauma, back in a state of shock, because I'm thinking that I was set free and I'm okay to be thrown back. That hurt worse. And my little brothers didn't experience that because she had already lost custody of them, but not me because he wasn't my biological father. So again, over the years, I ended up going away to Virginia with a friend. We were going to join the Marines. And she said, in order to go here, she was like, in order for you to come, you have to join the church that I'm with. This church was called the Church of God in Christ. I will never forget this. It was a different type of cozy. It wasn't the cozy that you're used to in the city. This one was so deep that in order to be a part of this church, you had to go through 7 studies. So everyone who lived in your area went through those studies with you. As you're going through those studies, they're learning about you. You're learning about them. They're learning your strengths and weaknesses through all of these studies. In order for you to be a part of the church, you have to pass these studies and these roundtable discussions. You're on the spot. It was so deep, right? Not only in this study did you do that, you couldn't date anybody outside of the church. You could only date any people within the church. And that's a whole nother story. But
yeah,
what I'm grateful for, what I'm grateful for is that God did bring me to that table. Because the last study was forgiveness. Just sitting there, and I can remember sitting at the table, and I was like, what? You, forgiveness? We went through the study, and they talked about forgiveness, and then they told me I had to forgive my mom. And I was like, forgive who? Like, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait. And I said, hold up. I said to them, hold on, wait a minute. Wait. Do y'all understand what has happened to me? I've been verbally abused. I've been mentally abused. I was physically abused. I was torn down. I was, you know, I felt, not confident, not within myself. I felt broken. I was torn. You know, I was even molested as a kid. Like, are you serious? Like, there's no way. Like, if she would have been there, I wouldn't have been able to go through these things. Like, are you serious? And they was like, yes. And I remember they sat at that table. It took us 3 weeks to get to forgiveness.
How long was it normally through your studies?
So we meet up once a week on like a Wednesday.
Okay.
And it usually takes a day.
Okay.
We meet for like 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours. It took me 3 weeks.
And it,
you know, yeah.
So it took you 3 weeks. That's
3 weeks.
That's an elephant you asked me to swallow or chew. So I get it. I commend you for taking 3 weeks. I do.
Like, I can remember so every time I sigh, I remember sitting at this table. And I remember that day, everybody was wore out. They was tired. They was tired. They were tired. They were tired of wanting of forgiveness. They were tired of trying to prove their point. They were exhausted. Just sitting around the table, they were tired. And I can remember looking at them like, oh, my God, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was like, she's not going to get it. She's not going to get it. We're on the last study, the last. And then all of a sudden, this guy, I'll never forget him, out of his mouth, and he said, Shaina, you remember how Jesus got on the cross? I'm like, yes. You remember how he looked at everybody and everything he went through, the beatings, the torture, everything? Yes. What if he got up on that cross and he said, I forgive everybody but you, Shaina? It was woo.
That's a sucker punch right there.
Ooh. Even now I can feel it. You know, and it was like, if you ever seen the movie The Butterfly Effect, when you first saw that movie and it just changed your life because you thought about everything and how everything could have been, or what if it went this way and if you turned left? It was like my life, everything started flashing before my eyes. And I was like, and I was like, oh, my God. You're right. And my first step was writing a letter to her, telling her how I feel and that I forgive her. At that time, nobody knew what to do. Yes. Yes.
That's powerful.
Yes.
That's powerful. So after you did the letter, at what point did the elephant come off your chest? Because you had so much on your chest. At what point was it when you wrote the letter? Or do you understand the question I'm asking?
Yes. When you said when I was able to truly release.
Right.
Truly release it. So we went through more things after that. You know, we went through many things because my mom was broken. You know, she was a broken person. She was a broken parent. And I chased her for many years, even through the trouble, the rough patches, because there were many rough patches. Even when I had my son, there were rough patches. And I had my son at 25. Even after 25, you know, 30, I'm still going through rough patches with my mom. All the time, I've been looking for a foundation because I didn't know what it was to have a foundation. Anytime that I was arise with problems, I would run from them because that's what I saw my mom do.
Right.
And because I really didn't have a foundation of family when it came to my mom and my dad, I didn't know what to do. I ran into the wrong relationships. I ran into sometimes the wrong crowd. I became sometimes the wrong person, looking for identity. Every time I look back at past pictures, I knew what guy I was with according to what I look like because my identity was favoring them. But when I started really releasing and understanding, probably wasn't until when I truly like really released it. Okay. It was during COVID.
Wow.
And this is from 19 all the way to I'm in my 40s. And I'm seeing breakthroughs with other people and their moms. I'm telling them my story, and they're getting healed from my story. But I'm not, I'm not healed from my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see where me and my mom were having a breakthrough. But it really wasn't until COVID. And at that time was one of my roughest times. And that was because now I'm a mom and I have to deal with my child through all the things that we went through. You know, with me being mom, me not having a foundation, me trying to find a foundation, you know, it was times where I had to send him back with his dad while I got on my feet. Then he would come back with me. He was repeating some of the same things that I was going through. Not because I was giving him up, because I didn't have the money. I didn't have the support. I didn't have the foundation. And I tried to change some of the things that was that he may have thought by giving him affirmations, and we'll talk about that later. But at this point in time that my mom, during COVID, and my mom came to stay with me, I was going through a really rough patch. My son was thinking about suicide. I had just moved into an apartment. I was being attacked by the devil. I was being chased. It was, I just moved into an apartment the next day. I think I'm okay because I just got in this apartment. My job was temporary, so I had to hurry up and do some other things to get back into this same job. So that was like a breather. Then the next day, I'm in this house. I take a shower. I'm happy. I'm like, we took care of everything. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call. On the phone call, I pick up the phone, and they say, are you such and such's mom? And I'm like, yeah. Who is this? He was like, well, I'm the principal from the school, and your son. Is this your son? He sent me a post, sent me a message, and it was a suicide message on Instagram that hit a student, that hit his teacher. And the teacher called the principal. They called, and then next thing you know, there was a knock at my door because it was the police. And then I turn and I look at my son like, really? Like, you know, and he says, well, look, Mom, I've been depressed since I was a child. We had me and his father had divorced when he was, we separated when he was 2 years old. And he was still not over the separation of me and his dad, and he was like 16. So then my mom comes down, and she gets into, I'm not going to, you know, air out what happened, but she gets into that kind of like, it kind of like, when she gets into something that is not like her or something happens to her, I'm talking about like, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to cry.
No, baby. You release that. It needs to be released.
Out of everything I've been through, and out of the things that I felt like she had hurt me with, like I'd rather take my mom's hurt. I'd rather take her hurt. I don't ever want to see my mom hurt. And I saw her hurt. And when I saw her hurt, it hurted me.
Yes.
And I gave my mom like the biggest hug ever. Because at that moment, I realized that my mom is my mom. And I love her so much more than I thought I loved her.
Wow.
And it just was like, wow, like, I can hurt. I'd rather me hurt than see her hurt. And that day that I gave her that hug, it was like, That's the day that I was like, okay. Okay. That was a realization. That was like the realization. I had been talking to her. We were talking. We built relationships. We just couldn't live together. But that day right there was my true, like, release. And then even prior to that, I had started digging in our family history to understand what it was between me and my mom, and what it was between my mom and her mom, and what it was between her mom and her mother. And when I heard the story of the pain and this discord that was between the mothers and daughters of prior generations, it just was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. So then that's when I started understanding that my mom was broken. And I could help everybody else, but I didn't know how to help my mom because I didn't want to. It was like I wanted to be the daughter. Mm-hmm. And when sadly, I lost a little brother who was 28 years old in 2012. And that was the day that my cousin came downstairs and said, Shayna, all your brother wants you to do is be a sister. Another eye-opener. I went upstairs. I cried. I came back downstairs. I called all my siblings. I said, from now on, I'm no longer your mom. I'm your sister. I even called my mother back, and I said, from today on, I'm no longer your mother. I'm your daughter. So for so long, I had become mom to everybody. So when it came to helping my mom, I just wanted to be daughter. So what I realized, and one of my girlfriends said, why every time it comes to your mom, you don't know, you can help everybody else, but you can't help her? That's because I wanted to be daughter. And then I realized that I was going to have to help her as well. And I just took a deep breath, and bit by bit and piece by piece, we would have these conversations and different things. And she would be seeing different things and understanding different things. And, you know, by the grace of God, praying, it took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of prayer. It took a lot of me sitting by myself. It took a lot of that. It took a lot of it. It took a lot of healing. It took a lot of God. And I can remember God even, you know, telling me to go forth in some things. And I was scared to go forth. I would always get to the finish line, ready to cross it, and couldn't cross it. And God would bring me back. He would just remind me not just of my mom. You know, he wasn't reminding me of my mom. He reminded me of my dad and the pain that he gave me as well, because he passed away in 2002. He had to take me back on that. So now I'm trying to heal my mom, but he's taking me back on the journey of understanding the pain that I endured with my dad, not to kill me, not to break me down, but for me to recognize the pain and where it came from so I can move forward. Right, that part.
Exactly, that part. Wow, I'll take a breather here. First of all, let me commend you. Let me commend you on, hey, Michelle, let me commend you on, one, allowing God to be God. Two, for having the courage, because I'm sure in that situation there was some type of fear, some type of discouragement, but you did it scared anyway. And as a result, you know, the fruit that comes out of it, you know, regardless of what happened, you still you know, you still move forward. You still did it. You still did it. And I have to say that it has to have been from your spiritual foundation, because you had a foundation. And then your spirit, you have that fighting spirit, and I could see that in you already. You know, I knew that about you from when I first met you or we got introduced. And I commend you, though, because that's a lot to have. You know, you're the oldest. You have to become daughter and mother figure. Oh, I understand more than you would know. But your story is just helping so many women out there who are going through the same thing, you know, going through the same thing. So I thank you for, one, being transparent and open to share your truth. I thank you for that. And I you are just a phenomenal woman. You are a phenomenal and a strong woman of God. And I cannot begin to thank you enough. For those who are just tuning in, my name is Puccina Kirkendall, and you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. I have the privilege and the pleasure of having Ms. Shayna Asbury on the line with me tonight. And Shayna, am I saying your name correctly?
It's Shayna Asbury. Yes, ma'am.
Asbury. All right. Shayna Asbury on the line with us tonight. And we're talking about how the rock of our foundation is built on, you know, it has to be on rock and not on sand. But sometimes when you are given a rocky road, you know, it doesn't always have to be that way. You just use those rocks to make some cement, and guess what? You can pave a way. And that is what Miss Shayna has done in her life. She's taken those rocks from her rocky situation, whether, you know, abandonment or rejection, abuse on all types of levels, you know. And actually, you end up being, you know, a mother figure before you had your first child. But having that stripped away from you at such a young age, making the most, we just take those lemons, add some sugar, add some water, and make lemonade. And sweetheart, you have done that. As I mentioned, thank you all for tuning in. And for those who are not familiar with Chronicles, we are listening on by way of two ways: Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. And for those of you who are on my page, and you may see it on Ms. Shayna's page, you're tuning in to Facebook Live. If you know someone who could be blessed by this situation, because we all have gone through it at some point of our lives, you know, share, whether you're catching the live right now or you catch the replay. So we've talked about, you know, the beginning. We talked about the stages, you know, of where it led to. Now let's talk about the testimony. Mm-hmm. And the testimony as of it, and you started it when you said, when you had that moment where you forgave, but when you had that pivotal moment when you realized it wasn't about you and it was about her as a parent, you know, you're finding out, coming to the revelation to everything that's, you know, the root to what's going on. And now you're taking those actions, and now it going over to your son. We talked about those affirmations, and we'll get there in a second. But let's talk about that, because affirmations kind of come a little bit in it, because you started taking the role of mother off of you from your siblings, who needed you to be not their parent, but their sibling, and also from your mother, where you came back and said, listen, you know, you are the daughter, and you started moving forward that way. Let's talk about that. How did that change? When that changed, when that shift happened, how did it affect your mother and it looks, and where you are now?
So, yes, every time that I took that, you know, that those hats off, it just so happened that we were burying my little brother, which is my mom's third child, which is her baby. He actually passed away in a car accident, very tragic, where his dad died. My dad and his dad died 10 years prior in a motorcycle accident. So
wow.
I knew that I was coming. I went back home to bring my family back together. That was my mission. I remember saying it was my mission. So when that happened, it was like, that should have been the turning point for all of us to come back together, like totally. And it was a walk. It was a tough walk because I had been away from my family for so long, and I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. And so it was like I was correcting them on things that they were doing through the Holy Spirit because they were in so much mess. But at the same time, I was finding my identity. But I was also being shown how broken my family was, to the point of here I am sleeping on my brother's couch, sleeping on his couch, walking to work, which was probably like a mile away. He didn't want to give me a ride. I had no money in my pocket, no food to eat, no nothing. At this time, my son was living with his dad in North Carolina. And I remember going to this job, never worked in a laundromat before, not a laundromat, but a cleaner. Getting outside the cleaners, coming outside the cleaners and being hungry. I remember this particular day, and I was just like, okay, I'm hungry. I have no money. I have nothing. I have nothing to eat, but I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to ignore it. This is me saying this to myself. So as I'm walking down the street, this lady passes me, and she was like, hello, how are you today? And I was like, hey, how you doing? Blessed and highly favored. And she was like, God bless you. Like, that's awesome. And she just keeps walking. So she walks up a block ahead of me, and I'm still walking in her direction because I'm going that way. And she turns around and she says to me, hey, would you like to have lunch?
Won't he do it?
And I said, well, sure. You know, like, because I was kind of like, yes, I was taken back. And when she walked, I started talking to her, and I said, where are we going? And she took me to a church, and in the basement, they were serving lunch.
Won't he do it?
And that was like, wow. Like, okay, God, so even though I'm going through this, you are still with me. That was my God in confirmation. That was my God in confirmation. So the process was definitely hard, but I'm so grateful for the journey and the process because of where I am today and how I'm able to recognize those things when God shows up and be grateful for them. And it was definitely a journey. It was definitely a journey because I saw so much. I learned so much. I experienced so much, you know, even to the point of up to the point of me and my mom and me really releasing it before COVID. You know, I went through more things, you know, being kidnapped, being raped. It was a process, a slew of things. I hate that I went through it.
Wow.
All of the things that I've experienced, but I knew deep down that it was not for me, it was for somebody else.
Yes. And as a result of all that, we are here today.
Yes.
All the trauma, all the drama, all the pain, all the tears that led you to the woman you are today. And let's talk about the result of that. You are a coach now.
I'm a coach. I'm a life coach, a family life coach. And I remember when I told God, I said, God, I know I'm supposed to be a family life coach. I know I'm supposed to help women. I know I'm supposed to help people. And this was before I've been helping people. I've been helping people over the years. So me just putting coach on the back of family life coach, that just gives it a different, like that you know, that she's a coach because she's been through it. She can help you get through it. Mm-hmm. And I remember guys saying, are you sure you want this? I remember a girlfriend calling me and she said, you know what, we should do a fast. I was like, okay. She said, we should do a three. She told me something about a three-day fast. And she said, through that three-day fast, no food, no water. God was able to bless me. When I tell you, I've never fasted for 3 days, no food, no water. At the end of that fast, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, you will stand for family. My girlfriend that I called that was supposed to be on this fast with me. Now, this is so funny. During the fast, everything that you would want to think about came out. You know, okay. I went over to some play family house. They had a cookout. I think it was a birthday party or something. Macaroni and cheese came out. That's my favorite dish. Beans came out. The turkey meatball came out. The topping was that lemon caramel cake. Father God, do y'all hear me? It was so crazy. I said to myself, I said, I'll fix my plate for tomorrow. I almost licked the fork. I caught myself. They eating around me. I'm like, I'm saying, I'm holding to my word.
That's right.
What? When I tell you, when I called my girlfriend after the fast was over, late that evening, I said, girl, thank God. Like, it's over. Thank God. Hallelujah. Giving praise, right? I said, how did you do? She said, girl, let me tell you, I was over at the church and your cousin's wife, now she's in Detroit, I was in North Carolina. She said, your cousin's wife brought out some caramel cake. She ate it. She broke her fast. And then she goes to tell me, right when she broke her fast, she got a phone call, her mother fell.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
So that's how I got into family life coaching. Yes, and that's when I started on my journey. And it's definitely been a journey, and I've been elated through it.
Yes. I have a remark. It says, it's a blessing to see and recognize God and the things that happen in our experience. And that situation right there is phenomenal. I mean, just right on time and right on point for what you were talking about. And being a life coach, I'm sure you've seen everything. But I tell you what, I tell people, you can't really mentor me, or you can't plant seeds if you have not gone through what I've gone through. Because you have some people out there just but you have been, honey. I need to call you forward because you're tough. You built tough. You really are. And to see how it's manifested up until this day, being a life coach, writing the book, you know. Tell us about the book, and believe it or not, our hour has winding down. Would you believe it? But what that tells me is it sounds like a part two of the show. That's what it sounds like to me. But what I would like for you to do is tell us about if people wanted to reach you, how would they go about reaching you? First of all, you do life coaching. Let me make sure. Life is only coaching. One of the things I saw on your website is that you work with people who are, you know, you work with families in particular when they're going through. Crystal said you're tough and she is tough. I believe that, Crystal. I believe that. You take those rocks, you add some, you know, the the components that it takes to make cement, and you put it in that barrel, you wheel it, and you lay it down, and you help people make that smooth path, that smooth transition. So could you tell us about your life coaching and your
yes.
book so people can find out and how to reach you?
Yes. So my life coaching is definitely, you can reach me at online on Facebook, Shana, S-H-A-N-A, Asby, A-S-B-Y. That's through Facebook. You can also reach me through, that's my main sort of kind of way of contact. I have a website
mm-hmm.
called www.beautifulbyshana, S-H-A-N-A, @gmail.com. And that's beautiful, B-Y, Shana, @gmail.com. And again, my name is spelled S-H-A-N-A. And you can Google me. You actually can go to Google, put in Shana Asby, and all of my information will come up. From where I've spoken at other places, on other platforms, dealing with my life coaching. I'm definitely a public speaker, been that for a long time. And I actually help families with, you know, the foundation, understanding the foundation, not just understanding the foundation and the importance of family, but also how to connect with each other, because bonding is definitely important. You know, here I am, one of five children. And out of all of us, we don't have the same mother and father. I was the only one who had, you know, a different father. But I'm able
mm-hmm.
to form a relationship with my brothers and sisters, which opened up the doors of learning how to accept people who are different and not like me, and growing from those relationships and speaking truth. So I empower people to learn from their past, look at it and face it, heal through it, and I take them through the things that I went through, and I share my stories with them in order to help them heal, as well as I use God in everything that I do with that
yes,
life coach.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That is awesome. So do you have anything like upcoming events that you want to share?
Yes, I do. I have every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m., I'm on Clubhouse, and we have a room, and we're talking about different subjects. Last week, it was broken people having broken children. So this upcoming mm-hmm. week is about toxic relationships and the inner child in you. The cycle continues. That is
awesome.
Our next one. Yes.
That's going to be interesting. I have the reminder set for me. So I can make sure I am on there. Clubhouse is a very interesting vehicle, and I love it. I've come to love it. I also, what I didn't hear is your book real quick
yes.
before we have to end up closing this out.
Yes. The name of the book that is coming out is called Your Roots Become Your Fruit. Your Roots Become Your Fruit. But I have written other books. Shay Shay Lorraine's Bubblegum, which is a children's book, as well as 8 Keys to Building a Stronger Connection with Your Children. That is also on Amazon, both of those books. I'm also a part of collaborations. One of them was dealing with a Permission to Feel and Heal with Cheryl Wood's sister, which is Mrs. Cherie Wood, and Cherie Good, I'm sorry, with Cherie Good. So I'm online with that, and that is on Amazon. So those are the books that I've done, but your roots become your fruit is definitely coming out. I'm working on it now. It's going to be out within the next week or so.
Okay, and are you on Instagram?
Yes, I am on Instagram at Beautiful by Shana. Beautiful by Shana on Instagram.
Awesome. So you all have it. I want to thank you, Ms. Shana, for graciously gracing the stage with me. As I mentioned before, I've invited you to come back. I'm just letting you know that now. I'm inviting you to come back. My name is Patina Kirkendall. It has been a privilege and a pleasure. Just remember, Ms. Shana Asby, you can reach out to her on Facebook, and she also has Instagram, as she mentioned before. Just remember that I love you, but God loves you more. Have a good night. Shane, I'm gonna call you.
Okay, thank you.
Give me a call. Give me 1 second.